What's the difference between step-parenting and blended families? We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and I guess I would be considered part of a blending family, a step family. Is it really a war of labels, or is there really a difference?
Well, it is a war of labels. It's nomenclature. There's no doubt about it. But you said it differently than I said it. I said it blended families, and you said blending, which is the right way to say it.
Oh, okay.
Step parent is a person. Blending families is a process, and it is a process, and we're going to talk about that all week. But the deal here is blended families, I think, is a misnomer. I even think that's a mistake to say I am married. No, you do marriage.
Right.
To just say, well, I got married, and so anybody can do that. It's a process. And blending two families is a very serious process, mm-hmm. and a long-term process. And so we have to see it as such and do the things we need to do. Yes, you are blending a family. You can take, and this is a horrible comparison, but you can take a salad dressing that's all blended and ready to use and put it down, but the next day it's got to be shaken up again. You got to re-blend it. Mm-hmm. It's a blending process that always has to be, unfortunately, the shaking up of the family is what causes you to blend or
right.
or get stagnant, one of the two.
Right. And I have seen, obviously, since starting a blending family, I have seen how really common it is everywhere. In fact, I just heard a statistic this past week, 25% of families in America are actually the traditional original mom and dad inside the home. So we're seeing a whole lot of single moms, blending families, and I know it's not the ideal, but there are some beautiful aspects to blending families.
Oh, it's a beautiful ministry. Let me add one thing to that statistic, though, lest we get depressed.
Yeah.
An extremely large percent is never and not married.
Mm-hmm.
An extremely large percent, and I don't know the numbers. You're the one that did the research and then left me hanging with no numbers on this one. It's kind of sad, actually.
Not
but
really.
Anyway, an extremely large percent of people are people who just, you know, I grew up in dysfunction, and I'm afraid to do it. And there's a large number, especially of your generation, not my generation, but your generation, that to say traditional home, we don't know what that means anymore. And because mm-hmm. of what they saw, they're not getting married. But blending families is a very on-the-rise process in America. I just don't think anybody prepares us for the process of the blending and what it takes. You, however, are different from the, if there's a traditional blending family, it's usually a man moving into an already established home of a mother and children, where you are the mom, and you're going to disagree with this, but I think it's a mm-hmm. little... it's a little more nurturing, because you are the nurturer coming into this family that has a dad and children. And mm-hmm. as hard and difficult as it is, and if I'm going to tell you about mine anyway, growing up in my world where my mom died and my dad remarried, I was very hesitant to like this new woman, because there's a disloyalty.
Right.
And I kind of deified my mom, and it took her years to get me to actually use the word mom. I called her by her first name through all of high school, yes.
Wow. And, you know, it's a little bit different also when you have the step parent, but also mom is still around, or dad is still around.
More difficult.
It's more difficult when they're existing.
It's more difficult, although people would say, well, you know, isn't it more difficult that you lost your mom? That had a separate difficulty, but she wasn't there, so there wasn't a competition mm-hmm. where children are kind of stuck in the middle, and what do I even call you? Because there is this person that lives across town that I still call mom,
mm-hmm.
and there's a battle in the blending, but the battle has very little to do with the children. It has everything to do with the adults.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with the husband and wife and the process and the permission and all these things and finding our roles amongst these children and working, not just to become one flesh in our marriage, but one flesh in our parenting approach.
Right. And that's hard, because it's one flesh, but then, okay, that's half the time or part of the time, and then they have to go and see the one flesh in the other house, if that's happening in the other house.
Oh, yeah, and the other house is different.
Right.
And the other house, not in your case, but the other house may be probing for information about
mm-hmm.
our house,
mm-hmm.
and the children get very, 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 very stuck. I have to expect the children to be children. And I have to expect the children to fall into their roles. And I was the oldest. And the oldest, and it's even worse when the oldest is a girl, because the oldest girl has to take up for mom and stay loyal to mom. The oldest child, though, is the child that almost has the dream of being a savior in the old relationship. And no, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it. And so the loyalty issues here are very, very difficult. And the fact that a family has already been established as a single parent family, and now all of a sudden there's another person here. And if there's a man and he's already established a relationship with his daughters, and now his daughters are replaced by a new woman. If you have a man and he's already got a great relationship with his oldest son, which was my case, it wasn't even a great relationship, but I dreamed it was. Dad and I could take on the world. But then all of a sudden, wow, the bedroom door is closed and Dad's got his new wife in there and not me. And I'm on the outs now. And wow, I don't like this being replaced by another person. I was kind of number two. And now I'm not number two anymore. I'm a child again. Even though the inside of me doesn't want to be number two. Can I go back to being a child? But I don't know how to say that out loud.
Yeah.
Dad needs me. There's so many dynamics here. But let me say, I think one of the great ministries on planet Earth is to make somebody else's kids your kids. It's even better than foster care. Making somebody else's kids your kids. Going in, eyes wide open, this is a ministry. God called me to this, to marry into this family, that I'm not just marrying a person, I'm marrying a family. And I know that I know that I know I may never get to be mom, but that's okay.
You know, and I am frankly, honestly, just kind of shocked at how many people, at least in my generation, are taking on this task. I have met more stepmoms and more stepdads in the past couple of years that I'm just surprised. I'm like, wow. I mean, I took this on, but I, like I tell people, I really was called to this also. I mean, I prayed a lot. There was a long process in getting married and then taking on these kids and all that. But other people have, and I think, okay, this is a redemptive part of society also.
Ooh,
where a lot
that's
of-
that's a great word.
You know, they're coming in and saying, I'm going to help make this happen. And of course, there's all kinds of comments that happen with step-parents that I've heard, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but also the beautiful part. You know, they're all in. They're saying, you know what? This is not my child, but I'm all in. And you kind of think, oh, you're just step-parents. So, oh, there's a lot of you out here. This is, God is really moving in this aspect of society too.
I think there's a lot of things to what you said, but I also think because you're more sensitive to those that are doing this ministry and you pick it up. I think because you are, and you're a little more of a high profile person, they tend to come out of the woodwork to you and say, me too.
Right.
But I think there's another big issue here. Because you grew up in an absolutely awesome home, I know your parents, they're incredible. You also were a youth worker at your church. Mm-hmm. Do you still do that? I can't imagine that you had time to do that anymore.
Or with kids, no.
Yes. You were a youth worker forever at your church. And because, man, you really have your act together, as difficult as it is for you, you're not the norm.
Yeah.
The norm out there would be this. I fall in love with you. Yes, you do have kids. I dream, especially as a man, I'm going to rescue you and your kids. When we're dating, the kids really, really like me until we get married. And then it's not a good scene anymore because the kids feel displaced. And we're trying to find some kind of sense of stability in this. And the parent, not the blending, not the step-parent, but the parent is stuck in the middle here. What do I do? The kids are working me. Who made her the boss over us, or who made him the boss over us? Mom, how can he make those statements? I think typically it's not the same scenario as you, because you married an incredibly awesome guy. You come from a great home. And so you guys are able to do the things that are necessary and see it as a ministry. I think generally it catches people off guard. I think generally the man comes into this. If you had kids and I came in and I started dating you, and I'm bedazzled because you're beautiful, and so we're going to do this and this, and I can handle the kids because I can do all things through me who strengthens me, and I really feel like rescuing you. I'm called to be a rescuer, and no one knows the servant mentality necessary and the humiliation of being taken down by a 12-year-old and looking at the person you sleep with, your spouse, and realizing they're not sure whose side they're going to take at this moment because they have such a heart for their kids and for so much of their life after their divorce, they had to rescue the kids from whatever out there, whoever was, whatever. They had to do a rescue job. And now they're having to release. And everybody has this moment that I realize I've married a stranger. What was I thinking? And I realized I had no clue what this was going to be like. And I used to come in, you know, as a, let's say, as a dating dad, a stepdad before we were married. I came in like Disney with something for the kids. Right. Unfortunately, I was winning the kids. And that's foolish because it's a lifetime. But now you got rules because you've been thinking in your life. You know, I got to tell you, me, as I'm talking to me, driving away from your house and your kids, if that was the scenario, when we get married, that won't happen again, and that won't happen again, and that won't happen again. And in reality, the mom or the dad, whoever the parent is thinking, wow, I really didn't remember asking you for all this help and all this rearrangement and all this organization. So there's a process that has to happen here. And there's a time of assessment, and there's the time of the man and woman becoming one flesh. That's a process. It's very interesting. Moses had a ministry, and it was a ministry to be the step-parent to the children of Israel. And he came out guns a-blazing the first time and kind of felt good. Man, he took that one out, and he murdered a man. You know, when anytime you got to start your ministry, by he looked this way and he looked that. Yeah. When you're looking this way and looking that to make sure nobody's looking, there's a problem with that ministry. And he came out the next day feeling pretty good. I've taken control. I'm a leader for all these 2 million stepchildren that are being brutalized in Egypt. And then he ends up and he has to run away to the backside of the desert because he really needed to get his marriage going with God before he could do the step-parenting thing. And that really is the first step. In fact, in my book, Single Parenting, the first three chapters are about, wow, you got to get yourself together with God. You got to marry Jesus. And in this case, not only do I need to marry Jesus, but I really do need to have a relationship with my spouse before we take on this corporation. It needs to be a management retreat of some kind.
Right. And it's hard enough even with the marriage aspect. But then when you go into blending families, it's sort of a double whammy all at once.
You don't get to work in slowly, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, it's warp speed.
Tonight,
and yes. We're going to solve this tonight.
It's, you know, in the landmark book called Five Dysfunctions of a Team, there's a man named Patrick Lencioni. In fact, it's a worthy book. It's a corporate book. But it's actually better for families and better for church than any book I've ever seen. And you don't know till the last page. He pulls a slick one because when you write a book, you put the acknowledgments of who you're grateful to right after the first page before the table of contents and introduction. Mm-hmm. He put it as the very last page of the book. And the last sentence is, and I'm grateful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And you realize this corporate book that's being passed through Toyota and everybody on planet Earth, this guy's a believer. But he just talks about what it takes, and he gives a metaphor of this person who comes from one company on the East Coast that sells widgets to a company in California that's a dot-com, some kind of technology company. Mm-hmm. And she's a new CEO, and Catherine takes all five of the vice presidents away for a retreat to get to know each other. They don't want to go. They just want to do what's in front of them. They don't want to go. They don't want to do this, but she takes them away to get to know and see who fits where. For me, that book changed the paradigm at Sheridan House forever.
Wow.
But there's so much in it in a family. You and I might have dated, but we've never been married, and I don't know your world, and I can't suppose I know your world to come to rescue you. This whole thing called blending families starts with becoming one flesh in the marriage, and that's the very first step we have to decide. We have to learn to trust each other. And the bottom of the five dysfunctions of a team, the bottom of that pyramid he builds, first thing is trust. We've got to start with trust. I've got to trust you. You've got to trust me. And we've got to trust each other enough to say things that are difficult to say. I think you're letting your children get away with, or I think you're a little harsh with the children tonight. I know you think you're protecting me. And we have to have these hard discussions. Well, I'm not just protecting you. You're not just their mom. You're my wife now. So they're insulting all of us by the way they've learned. Yes, but the key word is they've learned. We have to have these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have these talks so that we can say whatever. And that starts with trust. I trust that if I say this to you as we're blending this family, it won't destroy our relationship. We will still be married.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We hope you can join us tomorrow and the rest of this week on the topic of blending two families. If you want more information about this topic, there are various resources available through Sheridan House Family Ministries about step parenting and topics related to that. And you can find that online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. That's shfm.org. To hear this broadcast again and read the corresponding blog, you can find that online at parentingtoday.org.